Part of it?
Have we? Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Is that from something?
It's from Old Timey Drive-In.
It's from exactly what it's from.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm pretty sure it's been in a couple like featured rap tracks or something like that. It's like, here's the start of our album or whatever.
Rap's the last genre that goes with, too.
Yeah, well, no, I'm pretty sure I've heard it in something.
Okay.
Like, no, like an Ice Cube.
Yeah, totally.
Thing.
Old school, like, you know.
Sampling.
Oh, no, like, I totally see it, but at the same time, just like the tone of that thing. Just.
I'm sorry, I meant swinging jazz.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to
Sorry. I was going for atonal, but it kind of didn't work.
Well, you also threw like a Boston
accent.
Like I kind
of put, yeah, a little bit of a Boston accent.
Your reflexes kind of course corrected a little bit and made an actual note out of it.
Yeah.
So it didn't sound quite as terrible as that one time Michael just completely ruined the chord.
I photobombed.
For the record, that was our worst podcast, by the way.
Which one?
I don't remember which one it was, but it was our worst one because of that bad chord.
Just because of how we started.
I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven.
I'm Michael.
And we are from under a rock. You should know this by now. We watched movies. This week we watched Grindhouse. But first, James, how have you been?
Okay. Been working on stuff. Aside from just regular work, which is getting more and more stressful, I am also doing a little bit of a project this weekend coming up where I'm doing a drawing project for somebody who is willing to pay me. So that's kind of nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just like doodles and stuff, but nothing super artsy.
Someone is paying for your doodles?
Something is paying for my doodles and my time.
Well, are they drawing you like one of your French girls? Or no, are you drawing them? I said, are they drawing you? Are they drawing you too?
I would only hope so.
Like one of their French girls.
That's why I'm getting paid, actually, because I'm willing to take my clothes off.
Just some doodles, you know. Is that what you call it, doodles?
Doodles. Yeah.
That's your name for it.
That's how he signs it in the corner.
Yeah.
By doodles. By doodles, McKinley.
This is by doodles. But yeah, I wish that I planned to do all this stuff, and I've been meeting up with the director, and will be meeting up with the director tomorrow. But I really wish that my one of my supervisors hadn't given me a script to read and do coverage on by Friday, because now I don't know when I'm going to read it. Maybe tonight.
Feature length?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was just kind of like, I don't want to read it. You do it. As like the first time they've ever asked me to do one, so I totally wasn't expecting it or anything.
Wow.
I haven't done a whole lot of coverage, but and what
it's
I
just time consuming.
What I, yeah, exactly.
I don't have 4 hours to sit and just like read a script and then
the coverage I did was on TV too, so it didn't take nearly as long. Yeah. But I actually really enjoyed it still.
I mean, here's the thing, I don't mind it. It's just like I really wish it hadn't been at this either this week or this particular point in time.
Right.
You know? Because I relish the opportunity to read other people's stuff, especially if it turns out being halfway decent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
my biggest thing I took away from doing coverage at two different internships in summer of 2012 was, you know what? I think I can do this. Like when you're seeing what the competition
sometimes it's so bad you're just like, wow, if I just sat my ass down and wrote something
and look how far this script got.
Yeah, it landed on the desk.
Even some of the stuff I read got picked up and I was like, really? That's Yeah. It's kind of disgusting.
Nothing I read ever got picked up.
I think it's mostly the...
I read scripts that had already been picked up.
I think it's mostly the doing it and like sticking it out and making a script. And I mean, that takes effort alone.
And then putting in the work to actually do redrafts as opposed to just moving on to the next thing.
And a lot of who you know and who your agent is and who can get it on that important person's desk.
And then getting an agent.
Yeah, getting an agent.
So, you know, from an early age, elementary school teachers will tell you to, you know, once you finish your test, go back over your test, you know, and check all of your answers and stuff. I never had the patience for that.
Never did that. I will not.
I did all the time.
I'm not surprised by that at all. So but I would, the most I would do is go down and make sure that all my answers on the Scantron
were
matched
what you
up.
Bubbled. Yeah.
I would just go over, yep, no, I trust myself. I trust that I got all these right already. So
See, that was one of my many passes. That would be my first pass. It's like, does everything match up? And then I'm actually checking.
Like the actual
the
answers.
Actual answers.
Whenever I did it, it was a once through for me, and I went up to the teacher, and she's like, "Have you finished, looking over your tests again?" And I said, "No, I never miss."
Very nice.
Very topical.
I usually did three passes. The first would be the facsimile of the Asian kid that was sitting in front of me to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second pass would be me going through and like deciding, I don't know if that's right. And then me is the third pass is doing the like redoing the ones I think are wrong. And I'd always get higher grades than the people I cheated off of.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the third pass is you recopying from the Asian kid. Again.
It's like, well, here's
you don't
where
trust
I'm wrong.
Yourself at all.
What if you? What if
that's,
there wasn't?
Well, that's
an
how you learn.
Around.
That's how you learn, right? You see where you went wrong, and
you learn
you fix
from
it. Yeah.
Other people's mistakes and yours, and
then you get good grades.
Yeah.
As potential advocates, or
Michael,
we advocate that.
Michael, how was your day?
My day was long. I woke up. I had a 6 a.m. shift. Didn't finish until after 6:20 p.m.
Jeez.
But
so you weren't scheduled to go for 12 hours?
No, I was scheduled to go for 8.5, which includes a 30-minute lunch in there. And then they asked me to do an extra 4 because they realized they were going to be busy.
Okay, so they asked you and you said, sure, I'll take extra money.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense then. When you were describing it before, it was like they just kept you on. I'm like, they're not allowed to do that.
Oh, no. Yeah, they asked me, and they actually cut a couple of my hours last week, so I wanted to make up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's totally fine.
Still
tough, long shift, but
yeah,
legal and...
And willing, yeah.
And more money for you, so...
From
and
a company that will not be named.
And here's the thing. I'm glad
it's
I stayed.
The Marriott?
I'm glad I stayed though because I got to have a very interesting experience. Because before I figured I'd go with Grindhouse for this week, for a while I was pretty set on my pick being John Carpenter's They Live, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. And who came in during my shift today? None other than Rowdy Roddy Piper walks into the hotel, and I'm like, oh my god. That's Rowdy Roddy Piper. And 90% of my coworkers are like, who? And I'm like, he was a wrestler from the 80s. He's an actor. And then they're like, show me a picture. Pull him up on Google. And so I would. And they're like, no, that's not him. I was like, yeah, because that's a picture of him from the 80s. I know what he looks like now.
Yeah, I don't think I would have recognized him now, even though I saw They Live.
I mean, I watch wrestling all the time. I've seen his cameos.
For me, it would have been more exciting if Keith David had walked in. But.
Well, so here's the interaction I had. He walked in, and I did the obligatory good afternoon, but like much more excited than I'm usually. And he looks at me, and he winks at me, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, oh my god, you sound like exactly like you're supposed to. Like, that is what I'm expecting. And then he walks up to the front desk, talks to the front desk agent for a little bit, starts walking out, and I'm like, hey, do you need any help with your bags? And he was like, you didn't have a room for me, kid. And I was like, oh, that's so sad, but at the same time, the way you just phrased that is exactly what you're supposed to sound like.
And then he got onto his white stallion and rode off.
No, then he got into his car and his driver drove him off.
Oh, he has a driver still.
It took him, took him like 4 minutes getting into the car. I'm telling you, wrestling, it's a sore business in that it makes you sore.
Since the 80s.
Yeah.
Makes you sore since the 80s.
A sore did business.
Sore did.
But like, if he had stayed in the hotel and I had helped him up to his room with bags or something, I was totally going to be like, oh, my pick on the podcast this week is They Live. You should come over tonight. And I totally would have just sprung it on you guys. Oh. And showed up with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
I thought you were going to say like, if you need anything, here's my card.
Oh, no. I don't have a card. I'm so unprofessional.
I need to get a card.
You can't say I'm going to be at the front desk.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a call.
Call
away.
Him up every 30 minutes. Do you need anything, sir? Do you need anything?
Yeah, no. I'd memorize his room number and then just be like,
can I get you a warm beverage?
Yeah. And what are the options there? Like just tea
warm beverages.
Warm beverages? Okay.
We'll have a warm
whatever
beverage,
his heart
please.
Desires.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my day. I thought that was exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Steven, how about you?
I've been awesome. I went to Universal Hollywood Horror Nights last weekend. It's the first time I've been to Universal Studios since I got here.
And I still haven't been, actually.
I haven't either.
I was kind of putting it off because I was like, they got rid of the Back to the Future ride. That's my favorite ride. There's no point in me going back.
Damn it.
But I went there and I rode the Transformers 3D ride, all of you. Do that
I've
first.
Heard it's actually very cool.
It is amazing.
Yeah, I've heard Transformers is really good. I've heard The Simpsons is really good.
No,
I drive people to Universal Studios like daily as part of my job, so I hear a lot of
well, as
feedback.
The guy who rode The Simpsons last week, I was highly disappointed.
Aww.
I had more fun in the line than I did on the actual ride, because the line is funny. The Simpsons is the actual replacement for Back to the Future. Transformers replaced Backdraft, which desperately needed a replacement. But, you know, when you're in line
has
for The Simpsons...
Has anyone seen Backdraft?
I have not.
I have not.
Nope.
I rode the ride, but I haven't seen...
I have, though. I have seen Rescue Me. At least...
It's basically the same. No, it's actually really different.
Okay.
But, no, The Simpsons ride was really disappointing, because when you get into the actual motion control area of the ride, the actual ride... They don't hide
course,
the fact
the
that there's a motion control globe above you. So you know the whole time this is... And then it's all CG. It takes you completely out of it. And the motion control wasn't as immersive as the Back to the Future ride. I was heh.
Hmm.
But the zombie stuff was great.
Well, you can't go wrong with zombies.
I got to go by the set of Psycho. I got to look into the office that they filmed a bunch of the scenes in and walk by the Psycho house. It was tons of fun.
Were they playing the music like constantly?
They were playing music from The Walking Dead because that attraction was a kind of like a you go have to get from one camp to the other camp in The Walking Dead. You have to like survive the zombie walk, and they walk you through a bunch of sets, like a lot of dystopian sets that they have in the back lot. Like if you've seen War of the Worlds, there's a set where the plane has crashed and there's carnage everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the sets, which is perfect for a zombie apocalypse. It was great.
Cool.
How are you, Ryan?
Mr. Evans.
I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, moving on.
Thank you guys for caring, as usual.
No, I care. Is there anything? Is there anything?
Is there anything, he says.
Yeah, we heard.
I was talking to my parents. Just last night, actually.
Whoa, careful, man. This is
Hold
folks
on.
You're talking about.
You, sir, do not get to say that about me. No, as you recall, you might recall last week's podcast, I was tired to the point of delirious, and I even to the point of being delirious.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to help you out with the words.
I know. I really appreciate it. Even though I'm also very mad. No, I'm just
I'm so angry you called that out.
Brian's turning red with fury. He called you Brian, I think.
Are you sure we're not at that same point of delirium this week?
I'm sure I'm not, because I was so tired last week. And I could hear it in my voice as I was editing the podcast. Just everything I said sounded slurred and like slow.
Devoid of a soul.
Yeah, exactly. And... I honestly don't remember some of the parts. You know, I was listening to it back while I was editing, I was like, I don't remember that happening at all. So I just completely blacked out for some of it. Anyway, you might remember that I had a little test for my parents.
Right.
To see if they listen to the podcast. Well, they don't. So. but.
Those plane drifters, man.
The story is not over because I did talk to my parents last night. And she mentioned that she was showing the podcast to one of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, this could be. but luckily she picked episode 4, which is Ryan picks sneakers, of course. And
sneaky.
And my mom mentioned to me that's the episode where Steven and I talk about going home to Texas for Labor Day. And I talk about what a great cook my mom is and all this nice stuff. And I was like, whew.
Wait, didn't you just say that you go home to Texas and you go to restaurants though?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. No, she was still flattered that I said that.
Oh, okay. That's good. I'm surprised I remembered that detail.
So she might get there eventually. We'll see.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
She's watched episode 1 and the beginning of 4 now. So
she's watched it.
By that logic.
She's viewed it.
Yes. I have not seen it before.
I don't think I've seen any of our
episodes. Actually, I have seen it.
I've seen them all. I watched the waveforms.
I was here live.
As I lived live it. Taping. I lived it.
That's true. We've all seen it.
We're like Johnny Depp. We don't watch our own things.
You know, he said he's like thinking about quitting acting. I wonder if he just watched one of his things and was like, ugh.
No. And if
no,
it was
he,
Lone
he actually
Ranger.
Doesn't watch any of his stuff.
That's the thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just say that?
Yeah. So I wonder if him quitting is because he watched one thing once recently.
Okay.
Lone Ranger.
So guys, we have 2 movies to talk about this week.
We do. We have 1 cinematic experience.
True. But they're 2. Are they fairly full length? Or how long are they?
Yeah,
each?
They're both about they're about length. 90 minutes each.
Yeah. So. On the short side, but they sure felt like fully fleshed out films. I guess we'll start with Planet Terror. Yeah. And actually, let's start with the concept as a whole, the grindhouse concept. Michael,
sure.
Why did you pick this movie, first of all?
I just remember having a lot of fun seeing it, and I saw it in theaters, and I didn't realize that they had released on DVD or Blu-ray a theatrical cut where it's both movies back to back, complete with all the fake trailers that they have, which is where the inspiration for the movie Machete comes from. And then Werewolf Women of the SS.
Yes.
And then
Don't.
I really liked Don't.
And Thanksgiving. I believe those were all the trailers.
Thanksgiving was probably the most horrifying part of that whole grindhouse experience
that,
for me.
That woman couldn't catch a break.
No.
Just everyone she was like kissing and hooking up with just ended up just
decapitated.
No head.
Specifically, just the last scene seemed like a legitimate horror scene to me when they're all sitting around tied up around the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Oh, okay.
That
I was thinking the trampoline.
I was.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, that was definitely cringeworthy as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that last part had me just completely grossed out. It was.
Are you talking about when the guy was fucking the turkey?
Yeah. Yes, that.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, that grossed me out. Surprised?
No. I wanted to make sure our audience was clear.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about Planet Terror, I guess. This is the Rodriguez portion of Grindhouse. Definitely the more horrific of the two, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was also the more comedic of the two, so
yeah,
a little bit of a trade-off. What'd you guys think?
It seemed the more, even though it has a lot of weird moments, like easier to follow or like more like a traditional story, even though it's crazy zombies.
Yeah,
there's some definite arcs and plot structure in there that I'll save. That I didn't think the other one had, but I'll save that for later. But it definitely had that Rodriguez.
We can jump around a little bit if you want.
Yeah.
To.
Well, I mean, if I go into that,
if you'd like to touch on it.
I'll touch on that. What is it? Death Proof.
Death Proof.
That's the name of the movie.
Is weird to peg. That is the name of the movie. Is weird to peg down who your main character is, what the arc is. It kind of like stops halfway through and restarts again, and then your good guys and bad guys switch. But I'll get to all that later. It's just I had a lot of problems with that one.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming with on that. But I actually really enjoyed Planet Terror a lot more than I thought I was going to. Because I'm a fan of Robert Rodriguez. Being from Austin, you kind of have to be. But sometimes his movies can be sort of hit or miss with me. But, I mean, well, like I was saying earlier, you can't go wrong with zombies. And Robert Rodriguez directing a zombie movie happened to be just a super awesome sort of experience. I thought that the characters were wonderfully caricature-esque. And I thought that it was very tongue-in-cheek and poked fun at so many tropes of both action movies and horror movies, and especially horror drive-in movies. I mean, the whole thing, obviously, the whole package is a poking fun at drive-in movies, but...
Well, also honoring it, too.
And honoring it. Yeah, well, I mean, it's like
it's like Black Dynamite, like Lampooning, in that regard.
But it's clear that it has love for the inspiration. Which, in my opinion, is the best sort of fan service that any person can do. And yeah, I just thought that the gore was just the right amount of gore, which is a lot. And yeah, I was actually surprised to be feeling emotion at the end of the movie with a lot of the characters, getting killed off. Some of them are just like negligible, but some of the main ones were like, I was actually touched a little bit, especially between the brothers, JT and the sheriff. I forget what his name is. Barbecue guy and the sheriff. I was like,
that's our radio tandem name. Barbecue. Thank you for listening, barbecue guy and the sheriff in the morning.
Barbecue guy and the sheriff.
Yeah, and specifically for me, in terms of feeling stuff for characters, El Rey.
Yes,
I love his character.
I really do too. You know, just his boyish looks don't necessarily look like a big tough leading man, but I really bought it. You know, he's,
that boy's got the devil in him.
Yeah, he's just
that random when he's really spinning the guns.
Best insert ever.
He is kind of badass and commanding, and well, obviously, you know, the girl gets her leg chopped off, and he's just like, "Come on, get up.
Let's
get out of here."
Crying over spilt milk.
Yeah, that was it. Spilled milk.
Chill off the leg. Jesus.
I really love that character too, though. Did we ever find out what El Rey was referring to? Was that
the king? It means the king.
Yeah, but
I think he was like probably like a. Well, the sheriff knew him,
like,
and the government knew him.
Knew of him.
Yeah, special ops.
So I was actually thinking more like crime syndicate leader or something.
I think all you need to get out of that is that everyone knows he's good. Yeah. And he's got a reputation. Whether that's good or bad, it leans more towards bad, I think.
Boy's got the devil in him.
And I love the way that they build the whole no guns thing. So that way, like, it's been drilled into you so many times that when he finally does get his hand on some guns,
you know
guns,
he's good. You goons, know he's good.
Some goons.
He takes out like 10, 20 zombies in a hospital with just a couple butterfly knives. And I was loving that.
That scene. Yeah.
The scene where he flips off the wall. Steven was like, "That's me.
That's me. Zombie apocalypse version of Steve."
I will say, I've never seen Steven do a flip off of a wall.
But no, he could if there were zombies around.
If there's zombies around, there's a lot of laws of physics and stuff that aren't working.
Just getting
I want to talk about how I don't get zombies.
Yeah. So I want to say in terms of zombie movies, Planet Terror is my second favorite zombie movie ever made, behind 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm. That's a great movie too.
Just Planet Terror just has it all in terms of, it's got the fun, it's got the gore, it has a little bit of horror, and it's definitely horror themed, but to me there aren't many moments that are legitimately scary.
Yeah,
there are some that are gross.
Yeah,
and
there are a lot
and horrifying
gross.
And gory. But, you know, it's not the scariest movie.
Yeah.
It's shot in a way that makes it very unscary often, where it even could be.
Yeah.
I was actually halfway through the movie, I was thinking to myself, I was like, wow, you know, the last time I felt this this sort of gross, ha ha, that's funny, was when I was watching Shaun of the Dead. And while Shaun of the Dead's comedic tone is very much more apparent in terms of just like dialogue.
Yeah.
In that you can call it a comedy.
Whereas you might hesitate
to call Planet Terror a straight up comedy.
Yeah. Like I feel like the comedy in Planet Terror was more from how it was shot and how a lot of the imagery was delivered.
And how it satirized drive-in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas you can, it's very apparent that Shaun of the Dead is a comedy, but I feel like there was some connection there, at least for me. And then you've got that, I think it was a cameo by Nick Frost during Don't.
Don't.
It really looked like him, if someone wants to confirm that for us.
Yeah, and he was chained up. I was like, oh man, he's still in the shed.
FUARock@gmail.com. Let us know if that was Nick Frost.
What if they just email yes?
Because none of us have smartphones.
I'll know if you email yes, then I'll know what that means.
Yes, and then a winky face.
Well, I'll really know what that means.
Ryan, tell us about your new girlfriend. Well, they emailed me. And they included a winking emoticon, so...
Instant girlfriend.
I know that she really likes me.
So, I want to bring up the fact that I don't get zombie physics, because I just need to get this out there, and this is the only place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you become a zombie through whatever means, but usually that involves rotting flesh, mm-hmm. rotting tissues, yet somehow, even though your muscles are rotting, you're able to rip someone's limbs off like nothing. What's up with that?
I don't know. It's a zombie movie. It's fiction.
I know, but like zombie movies are presented. Like if it was a vampire movie, I'd buy it. If it was a werewolf movie, I'd buy it. Zombie movies, I never buy it for whatever reason.
You're just saying that they're so feeble that it makes no sense that they would be able to rip off a limb?
It's like a contradicting power to me.
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry, I might postulate that the entire film takes place in an alternate universe world where humans are a bit like tissue paper.
That actually explains it much better.
Filled with red paint.
Filled with, watery blood.
I compare it to like dropping a watermelon off a building, the gore in this movie.
We did that.
I love the, when they're making their escape from the barbecue joint in the truck and they're racing down the road, swerving to hit every single zombie as they go by. And they just basically repeat the same shot 3 or 4 times in a row of this body exploding all over the front of the truck.
And then they hit a dog and it flies all over those annoying twins.
Yeah.
I love how the doctor who chops off people's balls for some reason. I love how he's like, don't you understand? We are the cure. And then he's like, but I'm the only one who can make it. So let me finish my stuff. And he takes point like as they're trying to get to the helicopters and like immediately gets his head blown off. And nobody was like,
in such graphic fashion.
You can see the jawline.
Yeah. I started laughing like 10 seconds before that because I remembered that point coming up. I was like, here it goes.
It was so great because it was like, well, we're fucked.
I thought my favorite part of that character was, you know, at the beginning they set him up as a guy who collects male nuts.
Which for some reason nuts? Only male nuts?
Are those like peanuts sent to you by postal service?
Via mail. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But then at the end when they're desperately trying to make their escape through this exploding military complex, it cuts to him and you see he's got a bag of nuts again. He's been like frantically collecting them on his way.
Yeah, I just wonder what it was like for El Rey. Just like, oh, come on, man. We don't have time for this. No, you don't understand. I've got it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's nothing you can say after that.
No, there's not. Ugh.
That brief moment of silence proved that.
We should talk a little bit about Death Proof then.
That's the name of the movie.
Every time in the movie when Death Proof was said, James went, that's the name of the movie.
I also did that for The Fifth Element.
I think it was because you were disappointed that they didn't say the name of the movie for Planet Terror.
They teased me. They teased me. Project Terror. Yeah. And I was like, that's...
Planet Terror kind of connotates more of an alien invasion to me.
Yeah.
That's like what you would expect from that
title.
It's more like Country Terror.
I didn't think of zombie movie whenever I heard that title.
Yeah. Project Terror is very zombie.
Death Proof. I liked being homesick.
Yeah. I think my
like
favorite.
I was watching the backgrounds more than I was watching the characters half the time.
So yeah, I just want to say real quick, I guess. I said at the beginning that this was essentially two movies, but it was kind of three because Death Proof is pretty evenly split down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, continue. Talking about
Nelson. I totally agree because there's this jarring halt halfway through where you're suddenly introduced to this new cast of characters and there's this big, long, just shooting the shit scene, which I was impressed at the performances of the characters, actually, because it was a believable conversation that one shot went on for like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're kind of given this vague sense that Rurt Kussel is following them. did I say that right?
Yeah.
Rurt Kussel.
Yeah. Good job, man.
He's following them. But then, I don't know, it's just like a really slow build-up. But the climax was pretty awesome. I was just thinking of how nerve-wracking it must have been actually filming that. Even though you know that they probably didn't end up as safe as possible environment, it just still looked very impressive.
Yeah.
To me, what Death Proof was, and I don't know why I didn't expect this going in, but it was totally just a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
That I had neglected to see. And I was, you know, after it ended, I was kind of mad at myself that I had skipped over this whole experience. Just,
yeah.
Not even considering that this was a Tarantino movie tacked onto the end. And yeah, there is a clean split down the middle, with separate characters going into the second half, which is very Tarantino-ish thing to do, to divide his movie into acts like that.
And to have the long dialogue-driven scenes.
Long dialogue, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, as much as I love Tarantino's style and as much as I love those long dialogues, heavy scenes, it only kept me interested. Well, like, we already went through it. I felt like, oh man, we've already done this.
Right, so, right.
Like the first time around, I was like as interested as I would have been for like the first time I watched Reservoir Dogs, and they're just kind of shooting the shit about
tipping,
and big dicks and like a virgin. But and then, you know, you get the second half of the movie, and I feel like it was basically like a recycling almost, because you've even got the same amount of female protagonists.
Yeah.
Not really talking about the same thing, but
you got to reacquaint with them. They're kind all of like over again.
They're kind of like almost mirror images in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely parallels among the two sets of four characters.
Yeah. To me, it felt like the first set was just to be like, okay, here's Stuntman Mike and here's what he does. We're going to make you care about these characters, and then kind of like Psycho, you know, kill off who you think are the main characters.
Whoa. He hasn't seen the movie.
Oh.
Well, now I know.
Well.
Thanks.
Don't.
And knowing is half the battle.
Well, I meant the remake of Psycho.
I meant
the remake of Psycho.
The shot-for-shot remake of Psycho?
Yeah. Yes. But not the original. but yeah, I mean, like, you know, you think you have all these main characters, and then they kill them off in the middle, and you only have one common thread, which is Rurt Kussel, going into the next half.
Yeah, that's why I kind of didn't mind that we had to start all over it, because it just kind of showed that this is a pattern that Rurt Kussel has followed before. You know, he's done it before, and this is just a new set, so you kind of assume that he's going to kill these girls.
Well, I like, the thing is, I felt that the first half of the movie was so gripping, and then I kind of like had to go back to square one, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just, I feel like I need to watch it again now that I kind of have an idea of what the story looks like from far back.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd probably like it more if I watch it one or two more times.
You see, I have the opposite of that. This is my second time watching it, and I disliked it more the second time around. The first time I watched it, I was kind of like, okay, that's a. It literally was like, all right. It was literally, I just thought it was like, that was all right. This time around, I really disliked it the second time.
This is actually my second time seeing Death Proof as well. I've seen Planet Terror many, many times. But it's only my second time seeing Death Proof. And the first time I really didn't like it that much because I remember just Planet Terror standing out to me as a much stronger movie.
Yeah.
This time when I watched it, because I kind of knew what was coming, I appreciated the dialogue scenes more because there was a lot of foreshadowing, yeah. a lot of character development. I thought
there was a lot of kind of obvious foreshadowing, actually.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was... I thought that was a hindrance, the obvious foreshadowing, yeah. because in the second half of the movie with the second set of girls, they talk about
how Zoe, you know,
she's like a cat.
She has such good reflexes and nothing will kill her.
And she wants to do like the mast, which is where you get on the front of a speeding car with like belts and you're, mm-hmm. you're kind of like riding on the front of the car. So, you know, pretty early on, that's what she wants to do. And you set up her skill for recovering out of bed situations. And then it takes her forever, even when they have the car that they want, it takes her forever to get to the point of doing the actual mast because everybody just keeps talking. I thought there was so much talking.
Yeah.
And then you know she's going to be fine. And they don't even show her flying off of the car. She just recovers because you know she recovers.
I mean,
she's
I had no idea if she was going to be fine or not, which I found that whole interaction between Rurt Cussell and the girls to be very like tense and really gripping, in my opinion.
While I agree with you that the first half of the movie is better than the second half, I think that the second half is weak because of the extended car chase with Kurt Russell. I think it goes
on. It does go on for a little while.
I think it goes on way too long. And while it is probably slightly more realistic version of a car chase in that there aren't too many over the top explosions or anything, it's not too exciting.
That car chase didn't have many beats. There was one beat, and it's the chasees become the chasers.
They bump into each other a lot, and they keep driving, and it's very one note up until the very end.
The thought, came into my mind where, like towards the end of that whole thing where she's still on the hood of the car, I was like, okay, like how much more bumping do we need?
That's really cool.
Yeah,
at first. Goes on for much too long.
Yeah.
And what was the woman who was driving? What was her name?
Is it Kim?
Kim has like a gun the entire time and never, you know, Kurt Russell like drives right up next to him and is like, hey ladies.
How's it going?
She never thinks to go bam.
It's probably pretty hard to shoot a gun out of a moving car accurately.
But it's just like
somebody in the
on the hood.
Not on the hood, in the passenger seat.
I'm not even talking about whether you're driving or not, just shooting out of a moving car at all.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, I mean, Kim just has so much smack talk in this movie. The entire time I was like, just do something. I thought she talked way too much.
She reminded me of a much younger version of Wanda Sykes. That's what I saw.
I can actually kind of see that.
That's what I saw in her character the whole time.
Can we talk about how shitty of friends those three
horrible,
are?
Oh, horrible.
And how we never see the girl they leave behind again.
I was at least waiting for kind of a tag at the end where we see what happened to Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character, but nothing at all. It's just...
they just,
like...
Which is hilarious to me. I love that.
I think that's horrible.
Just, like, leaving her there.
See, to me, it was... you know, like I said, I was getting a little bored during the long car chase, and so it was kind of distracting to me thinking about what was happening back at the farm with this girl.
Probably could have benefited from a quick cutaway, actually.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, so James, you mentioned earlier the kids got the devil in them, or whatever the line was.
The kids got the devil in them.
Flipping guns.
Being the best cutaway. Well, in Death Proof, the best cutaway was just during the car's chase, they just cut randomly to a motorcyclist flying into like a sign or a barn or
like
something.
Like a fireworks
stand. Which almost seemed like a secluded incident to me.
Yeah, yeah. It,
like they were on the
highway.
It was
long
at that
after
point.
They had passed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, this is my chance.
He was actually just rubbernecking at like all the destruction.
Guys, that was the third movie of the Grindhouse. Was his one shot, very experimental.
Don't.
So, yeah.
Any final thoughts on the whole experience before we rate it?
The ending to Death Proof when they just beat the shit out of Rurt Cursor. And I almost had it.
Rurt Cursor.
Rurt Cursor.
take off the
speech jammer. That was last week's challenge.
Oh yeah, that's right. When they're just beating the absolute crap out of him, and then they like jump in the air, and then that's it. Just says the end. Yeah. I could not contain myself. I was laughing pretty hard.
Hilarious. Yeah.
I just, my final thought would be I find no likable traits in any of the second group of women, except for maybe Mary Elizabeth Winstead, only because they didn't really give her a bad trait.
Much.
Yeah. So
you heard it
here
first.
Neutral.
Steven hates women.
I hate women, apparently. And what happened to his car being death proof? I know he got shot in the arm, but then he rolls around and he's like half dead.
Yeah, he didn't get killed in the car. Yeah.
I know, but like the car rolls around. Uh-huh. Okay, so he's shot in the arm. Yep. They chase him, bump him around. He rolls around. And like he is, well, I don't know. I guess he did get injured in the first one. I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
He should have bulletproof glass. That's the lesson there.
He was out of the car when he got
no,
shot.
No, I know, but then the window wouldn't have smashed and they wouldn't have been able to hit him with a pole because it's bulletproof because the glass would still be intact and he'd be like, you can't do anything in here. And then they probably set his gas tank on fire and then that's how he would die.
Kind of a side note, my heart actually did melt a little bit when he was offering that girl a ride home. Like before you knew he was the bad guy.
Oh, when he was being really smooth.
Like he was super charming. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Bert Kussell.
Yeah, no, I love that scene.
It's totally the call point. And then the scene where he's talking to, what's her name, Butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's explaining why she's
going okay
to
in my book.
Yeah. You're okay in my book.
I thought that was really intense.
Can we do the movie some justice and instead of calling him by his real name, Rurt Kussell, call him by his character name?
Stuntman Mike.
Stuntman Mike.
Muntman Stag. Muntman
Stag. What's a munt?
I don't know, but he's a
email,
man of it.
Email us.
Email us if you got
define
the answer.
Define munt man for us.
Before we rate, I just want to go around real quick and get everyone to say which of the two was their favorite. So,
Planet Terror.
Okay.
Planet Terror.
Planet Terror.
Death Proof.
Interesting. There you go. Yeah, I want to watch it again.
I figured I would be on the minority on that one.
Makes me miss Austin.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's rate this thing with ratings.
Ratings.
With a rating.
Ratings. Ratings. Ratings.
Rating.
Ratings. 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 Ratings.
Ratings. Off, Michael.
Rated. Ratings.
A rating. Ratings.
What's your
thanks for listening to Barbecue Man and the Sheriff.
Well, all right. So this is just a pair of B movies. Stapled together by some pretty awesome trailers. And I think the whole experience is fun. And while even though I don't necessarily think Death Proof is the best movie, I liked it more than I liked it the first time, and I'm giving the whole experience an A-.
I guess I'll go next. This will be a big contrast. Death Proof really brought it down for me. I enjoyed Planet Terror, but as a whole, I thought the whole let's add a gritty filter on top of everything was really distracting. The techniques they used to make it feel like a grindhouse film half the time brought me out of it. I give the entire thing, ba-ba-bum, a D+.
Whoa! Wow. Was not seeing that one. I'm surprised I didn't bring this up. I actually really enjoyed the filter.
Me too.
And I didn't find it too distracting. In fact, sometimes I think it kind of accented the action for the better, in my opinion.
Plus the way they played with the meta of it by having missing reels and film burning.
Yeah,
that
was pretty funny.
When they cut out the sex scene in Planet Terror.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And then they hard cut to the whole place is on fire.
Yeah. It's like, how did we get here?
All right, we got to get the hell out of here.
That was so good.
Yeah.
I will agree that while Death Proof wasn't my favorite of the two, and in fact hurt its score a little bit for me, though I'm willing to give it another shot later on down the road, tonight I'm going to have to give the entire cinematic experience, because it was quite entertaining as a whole, I'm going to have to give it a B+.
Excellent.
Okay. And I'll round us out here. I really did like Planet Terror a whole lot for all of its humor, its gore, its characters, its stylings, everything. I really liked it. But to me, a decent Tarantino movie is going to win out for me any day. And so that's why Death Proof, specifically the first half of Death Proof, really elevated the entire experience out of the realm of a B for me. I'm going to give it an A-.
Excellent. So that will mean that our total score ends up being a solid B.
There you go.
Nice.
4B movie.
Hey, right on target.
Hey.
And it's like a perfect B too. There's like no rounding. It's like, it's an 85.
Awesome.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Michael.
You're giving away our secret on how we now, do things.
I mean, it's
Now, I noticed Michael has neglected to give out points for the entirety of the podcast thus far.
That's true.
I'm hoping we can remedy this with the challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge. Actually, guys, challenge on, yo.
No points this week.
See you next week. Notes.
Okay. So who's
so I guess going? We have to fight.
We fight
now.
To the death, yeah. And I will see you guys next week with my pick.
No. So this week for the challenge, we're gonna play a game that I very much enjoy, and it will be isolated in that each of you will get your own turn to play the game, and it'll take a couple minutes each. The game is adapted but not copied, because I've added some of my own elements from the podcast Comedy Bang Bang. It is a game called Would You Rather.
Oh, now I know why you told me that I would. Never mind.
And in this game, I will present you with three options as opposed to the normal two. I'll give you three options, and then the important part of the game, the part where you're going to score points, is your follow-up questions to make sure you know every loophole associated with the question. And then your final decision of the three options will also render you positive or negative points. But the more important part of the game is your follow-up questions. I will open the floor for questions immediately after I give you your options, and then I will close it whenever I feel like is fit.
Question.
Yes?
Are you opening up the floor for questions?
Not yet.
Damn.
But which of you would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Ryan, you will go first. So I passed out of 10 numbers. I gave each of you three, and then one will be discarded because I wrote out 10 different options. I just want you to know that the option that was discarded is every time you fart, a little bit of sand comes out. So
that was useful, actually, if you make glass.
Oh, I thought you were going to go along the pocket sand route. Sha-sha-sha!
That'll
be much worse.
So that option is not available.
Wait, that doesn't happen to you guys?
Something wrong with you. So, Ryan, you're going first. What were your numbers?
3, 5, and 6.
3, 5, and 6. So on the list I wrote down, would you rather get pregnant once a year, be shrunken down and forced to live in Rosie O'Donnell's fat folds, or have to shed your skin in a 6-day monthly cycle of excruciating pain and sun sensitivity? The floor is open for questions.
Sorry, can I look at the list?
Of course.
Okay. Now, let's start with pregnancy. Is it one baby per pregnancy?
It is one baby per pregnancy.
No twins, no triplets.
No twins, no
nothing
triplets.
Nothing like that.
Yes.
You're having enough of those as it is.
Is it a immaculate pregnancy every time?
No.
Do I have a partner?
Oh, you get railed by so many dudes. Oh. Every time you don't even know. Like, it's a big toss-up as to who's the father.
Good to know.
It's like Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
It's exactly like...
I believe that's the plot.
That girl who got railed by all those dudes.
Quit reading off the back of the box.
in the classic tale of Mamma Mia.
When her mother got railed by a bunch of dudes and she was born. what's my lifestyle like other than being railed by all these dudes?
You're actually a very respected businessman.
Oh, I'm a man?
Yeah, of course. You're you, dude.
Okay.
But I'm glad you clarified. That's good question asking. Yeah, you're Ryan Evans. You play Street Fighter, you go to work, and you get railed by dudes.
Okay.
Nothing changes.
So I never... Okay, so how many babies is this? Is it for the rest of my life?
Until menopause.
That clears that up. And I never settled down at any point?
No.
Okay.
There are several follow-up questions I'm shocked you haven't asked yet.
Well, I need to move on to some of these other
ones.
Yes,
you do.
Be shrunken down and forced to live in Rosie O'Donnell's fat folds. Is this... okay, I guess that answers my question. This is a normal-sized Rosie O'Donnell, and I'm being shrunken down.
No, actually. It is a 10-foot Rosie O'Donnell. You are only being shrunk down to about 30%.
Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah, yeah.
This is... I just have to be in there at all times?
It's like your home. Like, you're not always at home. But mm-hmm. you come back to it at night, you make your bed, you brush your teeth, you do all that fun stuff. You try to take girls back home with you, you know. All those things. Because in this reality, you're not being railed by dudes. In this one.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to shed your skin in a 6-day monthly cycle of excruciating pain and sun sensitivity. Am I a human in that one?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So, no, don't say of course.
I'm sorry. That was condescending. But yes, you are Ryan Evans.
Hmm. Does everyone do this?
No, it is just you.
Just me. And there's no treatment or cure or anything like that?
I mean, science doesn't find it worth it for one person.
That's not true at all.
Is it?
I've heard about all kinds of crazy treatments for...
Like the guy who grew a nose on his forehead.
In this world, science does not care about your affliction.
What causes it? Is it congenital or is it the sun? Is it sunburn? Like chronic sunburn?
No, it's just your body rejects your skin. You're like, get this off of me. Right. Get this off of me. I can't do this.
Am I still going here? Am I still asking questions?
I'll give you one more question for each.
For each. You know, I think I might be good to go, actually.
All right. What is your decision?
My decision is pregnancy once a year. Because there are people who actually do that. So,
well,
why not? I might hate myself, and I might develop some kind of alcoholism, and I definitely would make a lot of poor choices, but it still sounds like a real thing. So
unfortunately, the question you did not ask, is there alcohol in this world? Which there is not. So I'm sorry about that.
Don't worry, there are other substances you can abuse during pregnancy.
It will lose you some points, but I am not going to reveal point totals until this full game is played out.
Okay.
Moving on.
Can I bring up a question I would have asked if I had one of Ryan's situations?
Sure.
The skin, when it grows back, is it a completely new set of skin? Or like if I'm 80 years old and I regrow my skin, do I have 80-year-old skin?
Oh, no. It's the skin that you shed off. It like just it forgives you and,
so, like,
and comes
you
back onto
like
your body.
Wait. When you say forgives you, do you mean that like resets to you in your prime?
It rejected you in the
first
place.
It rejected you, yeah.
And it forgives you and it comes back on.
Dude. Wait. I don't understand.
Don't worry about it.
Good thing it wasn't your question.
Good thing, because I would have maybe chosen that if that would
all right,
like,
who's next?
Give me new skin.
Steven, do you want to go?
I'll go, because I'm in the mood now.
Great.
Snappity snaps.
Steven, what were your numbers?
With slippity slaps, I have 8. 2 and 4.
Rappity raps and slippity
you have
slaps.
8, 2, and 4.
2 times 4 is 8. You gave me a nice little equation.
Would you rather receive $10,000 worth in pots of gold every week for the rest of your life, have legs for arms, or be hated by everyone that spends less than 100 hours getting to know you?
legs for arms. I'm not even asking questions.
Okay, it seems like there's an obvious choice, so I'll start the questions with that. $10,000 worth of pots of gold.
Yes.
Every week?
Every week for the rest of your life.
Where does that money come from?
Leprechauns.
Do the leprechauns come find me for the pots of gold?
I'm sorry?
Will the leprechauns come after me? Are they giving me the pots of gold as an act of goodwill, or is it like they lost it and they want it back?
No, they're giving it to you.
Is there a curse?
There is a curse.
Hey, what's the curse?
The curse is that the money is unspendable. It disintegrates as soon as a transaction is about to occur involving it.
So whether I have it, whether someone else has it, anytime it's about to be spent, gone.
Just you or anyone else in your life that it would make happy.
Oh, man. Anyone else in my life that would make happy. Is there an option to just let it sit there? Would that harm me at all?
Yes, you would have no too space. Many pots of gold. Yes.
If I was to take my $10,000 of pots of gold and go on TV and say every week I'm going to leave $10,000 of a pot of gold to the state lottery, I won't know who gets it. What would happen?
There is no TV in this situation.
If I was to leave a pot of gold on the street corner, $10,000 worth, although that would probably have some serious social repercussions.
There is no society.
Am I the only one who lives here?
No. Of course not. That'd be ridiculous. But there are no... There's no form of, like, public anything. Everyone is just very introverted and sticks to themselves.
Oh, okay.
Hermetic.
Huh. Okay, what were my other two?
Your other two.
Legs for arms?
Would you, have legs for arms.
I'll ask, can I get an arm transplant?
No.
Oh.
Well, yes. You can get legs for arms, yes.
You mean arms for legs?
Yes. So, if you get an arm transplant, you're replacing the bottom half of your body.
That would be a really interesting way of getting around.
You're just always handstanding.
You'd be able to do everything, but you would just, be upside down. No, you'd be leg standing, but your head would be flipped down.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. And the last one was?
Be hated by everyone that spends less than 100 hours actively getting to know you.
Okay, in that scenario, does anybody even want to get through 100 hours? Like, can I say, hey, once you get to know me, is there any way? Do people hate me so much that there's no way I could get them to spend time with me?
God, I hate you so much.
Wow, and he spent more than 100 hours with you.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only one, too.
You can kind of coax people into it. It's probably easiest around coworkers.
Yeah,
but, like, they have to kind of try to get to know you, and they won't make up their mind that they like you until after 100 hours, and they will pretty strongly dislike you until then.
So when you say spend, you literally mean there has to be some interaction. I can't just be in the room with them for 100 hours. I have to talk with them, do things.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, man, it seems like Pot of Gold is the most logical choice, but there's got to be something I'm missing there. Do I have any, like, ailments in that universe that money can fix, but I can't use the money for because it disintegrates?
A curse.
That it disintegrates?
On your pots of gold. And you have breast cancer.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That changes things.
But, I mean, it wouldn't help you anyway because there's no society.
There's
apparently.
No society. No one would notice I was gone.
Yes.
Oh, man. I might have to go with...
The floor is still open for questions.
Oh, let's see. Am I the only one with legs for arms?
Yes. All right, floor is closed for questions.
I think if I have breast cancer in the pot of gold scenario, I'm going to go with legs for arms because that would just be funny. That would just be so funny. You see me walking around.
I knew it.
Upside down. People would like get in a fight with me and not... Oh, actually, no, they could just kick me in the face. But they would like punch at my face. Like, they'd have to... All the attacks would have to be really low. That'd be great.
I'm so sorry, Steven. The correct answer was, in fact, $10,000 worth in pots of gold every week for the rest of your life.
Why was that?
Because the breast... You don't have boobs.
Men can still get breast cancer.
No, I know, but you can outthink the cancer in this world.
In this world.
And you did not.
I'd say that's a cheap workaround, but okay.
I'm sorry, Steven.
Can I outthink the curse?
No, of course not. It's a gypsy leprechaun curse.
Okay. Wow, gypsy leprechauns. Gypsy leprechaun. That's some danger. Okay, there's no way I'm out thinking
real quick
that.
Tangent. The apartment that I moved into
is a pot of gold.
Well, no,
gypsies spawned
they,
this.
No, they apparently the apartment that I moved into. There were 15 gypsies living in it before I moved in.
How big is it?
It's a 2-bed, 1-bath thing.
Okay.
And there were 15 gypsies living in it, including like 3 kids or something.
I'm Hispanic, and even I think that's a tight fit.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense, until you said that only 3 of them were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that. And my friend for a while was really concerned that we had a gypsy curse. I was like, nah, man, they're cool, I guess. I don't know much about gypsies, but I mean,
they gave me a pot of gold every week.
Yeah. Okay, so I got 1, 9, and 10. Great. So 1 plus 9 is 10. Hey. Hey, nice. Well, that was...
Dang it.
Sorry.
I drew the short straw with right. the numbers.
The short equation. All right,
Jubies, let's do this. Would you rather have all your food baby birded to you?
Okay.
Find out that your whole life is scripted, or instead of water when you shower... Your shower head sprays you with kicks from Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Lee, and Hurley from Lost.
That's amazing.
Is the floor open for questions?
The floor is open for questions.
First of all, if I were to be kicked by Chuck Norris,
yes.
Not even minus the other guys, yes. Wouldn't that kill me?
Yes. This is a real Chuck Norris, not like the meme Chuck Norris.
So yes.
So but I would die.
No, you wouldn't die. You would not die.
Okay. How injured would I be per shower? Like, would there be enough time? Like, could I make it through a couple days without showering? And like, people would be like, gross, but I'm bruised all over the place. I can't take another shower, right?
He's all bloody. Better clean up.
No, please. Never again.
In this world, bruises don't form.
Okay. Is it possible to take a bath, or is that also kicks?
It's a bath full of punches.
It's a bath from the same people?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay.
From Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Oh man.
Chef Boyardee. And
so would they be tasty punches?
That's a stupid question.
I guess so.
That's the stupidest question.
Okay, what are my other options?
Oh, and the last punch. So Mike Tyson, Chef Boyardee, and Taylor from Hanson.
I feel like I'd take a bath in that. I'd rather be punched by Chef Boyardee and Taylor.
But also there's also paparazzi whenever you take baths instead of showers. So they are documenting all of this.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very embarrassing.
What were the other two options?
Find out that your whole life is scripted,
mm-hmm.
and have all your food baby birded to you.
At what point do I find out that my life is scripted? Is this like a Truman Show sort of thing?
Kind of, yeah. We'll say 27 when you find it all out.
Okay.
So you don't get any formative years after you find out.
Do I get a copy of the script?
No.
Do of course I, not. So no revisions or anything are possible?
No.
Do I get to interact with the writer of the script?
No. He gets to interact with you if he so chooses.
Hmm. Okay. So when I'm getting baby birded...
Yes.
Is it an actual gigantic bird that is feeding me?
1/7 of the time, yes.
What about the other 6/7?
Every day of the week, it's a different
source. Okay, so what about the other 6/7?
All right, so Tuesday is an actual mama bird, but a giant one to fit your body.
Awesome.
Next day is Hurley from Lost.
Mm-hmm. He makes a couple appearances.
Yeah.
We can just skip through the other.
Next day is Wanda Sykes, of course.
Do I get young Wanda Sykes from the movie? No. Oh, damn.
Next day is Chef Boyardee, but he's not feeding you. He's not baby birding you. You're not allowed to eat Italian food on that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could hardly count Chef Boyardee as like Italian food.
I'm saying any Italian food.
Okay.
And then Barney the Purple Dinosaur.
Awesome.
The next day. And then the two girls from Two Girls, One Cup.
I mean, they have food, right?
And then the next day is also the two girls from Two Girls, One Cup.
Are they feeding me food or are they baby birding me just... Crap.
I mean, you know what they do with their mouths. But yes, it is.
It is actually food?
It is actually food, okay. But that doesn't guarantee its cleanliness.
Do I get to ride the mama bird at all?
No.
Nah, damn.
But you have one wing. Your left arm is a wing in this world.
Super cool. Am I the only one that has a wing?
Yes.
I know there's another question somewhere in here, but I can't think. I guess that's all I got.
All right, then.
Ooh, this is a tough choice, actually. There are pros and cons to both of these three.
Yeah.
To both of these three. I take away that your numbers make an equation. You clearly can't understand them.
Yeah, exactly. All right. If I had a gun to my head, which I do, I would have to go with, what's the third thing again?
Instead of water when you shower.
No, the other one. The writer's shower and baby bird.
I was so happy that I was about to get to say this one again.
Writer, shower, baby bird.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of feeling like my life has some sort of destiny, I'm going to go with the scripted. I know that's not the right choice.
It was the second best choice.
Okay.
Close.
But imagine what a claim to masculinity you would have if you took showers that sprayed you with kicks from Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Lee, and Hurley from Lost.
I mean, you would be tough as a rock after a week.
You also forgot to ask the question of, can Hurley even get his leg high enough to kick you? Which, no, he can't. So, you know.
Oh, I just imagined the kicks were coming out of the shower head.
They are, but he would miss.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
But that's not a question he asked, so he didn't get that information.
Bummer. I have a question from that. When you're getting kicked by Chuck Norris in the shower, is it just his leg, or does Chuck Norris in his entirety come out of the shower head and
do
kick
I get to
you? And what happens to him after
multiple
the kick?
Multiple times, too. Like, at the speed of water coming out of a
shower.
And
does he, like, go just back down the drain immediately?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you can't, like, chill
and then
Chuck
as
Norris.
You're, like, recovering, you, like, get up. You're like, oh, God, what's next? And
bam.
Then Chuck Norris. But you smell great after all of it. You smell. It's a really effective shower. And you're so clean.
You get the stink beat right out of you.
You do.
Essentially.
You really do.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, this has been fun.
This was. I like this.
This has been a dandy old time.
Point to me.
Point to you.
I'll point at
Ryan.
You.
I'm going
to... It's all point at Ryan.
I'm not going to subtract a point for that.
Who has two thumbs and his friends point at him?
We'll leave it to the audience to decide.
to
something just
visualize
happened.
What just happened. I'll give you a hint. Two thumbs are really all that was necessary. All right. In third place, 342 points. Steven.
Woo!
Sorry.
It's all good.
In second place, with 369 points. Well, first place had 370 points. It was a one-point difference. 1 point difference. In second place with 369 points. James. And
damn
in first
it. Well,
place,
at least I had the 69.
In first place with 370 points. Ryan Evans.
Woo!
Who actually wins on account of the going first bonus.
Very nice.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I was about to volunteer for tribute, so.
I was about to go first.
I gave you both
helped.
A chance.
Yeah, yeah.
I waited.
You kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He jumped on it. He and Ryan gets to
it.
Pick next week.
My pick for next week, continuing the month of horror picks is Slither.
Oh my god, I'm so happy you picked that.
I don't know anything about that movie.
No one's seen it.
I have not seen it, but I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, I really need to see Slither. I hope Ryan picks it at some point, because I know you have.
There we go.
Very cool. What's it about? Real quick.
Don't.
Tell me the plot.
Just a
what would you rate this movie?
What's the ending?
James, for you, I will say that Nathan Fillion is in it.
Okay, I'm already sold.
Okay. For everybody else, Elizabeth Banks is also in it. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yep.
And I also answered for that, not just... I answered for everyone.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. Cool. I'm excited.
I know.
Those are some sexy
We can
people.
All see. Those Put your shirt back on.
God damn. Why?
Because you smell like you need to be kicked.
Well...
That's the phrase in that.
It's been a while.
Go take a shower. It's been a while. You smell like you need to be kicked. Question: right. If he gets kicked in real life, does that give him the benefits of a shower?
No.
Okay.
Unless it's
Chuck Norris or any of the other people. Yeah.
Or a little person, actually.
Oh, really?
So, okay. In that world, would Rurt Cussell have smelled amazing after that beatdown?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh god, yeah. He went out.
He would have been like the Old Spice guy.
He went out smelling like the Old Spice guy.
Steven, what's going on Hyperdrive?
Been a little slow, but this Saturday we got a video coming out, a hyper vlog from our old friend Smiles.
Uh-huh.
Smiles sent us a video.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you guys will see how Smiles is doing in the video.
Smiles, if you're listening, there's this gaping void in my soul that only you can fill. To put it lightly.
Smiles, if you're listening, to put it lightly, I'm sorry, I didn't like the Simpsons ride.
Smiles.
Oh, yeah, he's actually going to tear your ass apart on that one.
Smiles, if you're listening, I just want to say thanks for listening, buddy.
Hey.
Aww. I appreciate the support.
You have a message for Smiles?
Nope.
Oh. Smiles, if you're listening, Ryan doesn't have a message for you.
Smiles,
it's like he's dead or something.
Smiles, I know you can hear
wherever
us.
Wherever you are, man.
I just wish I could tell you. I wish I could have told you before you left us. I really didn't like the Simpsons ride.
Smiles.
I never had that chance.
Smiles, if you're listening, I know you're in a better place.
Yes.
Which is really just a diss
Literally.
On this place.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to join in on the Slither discussion next week.
Do your homework.
FUARock@gmail.com or tweet us at FU.
FU.
Every time. Take your speech jammer off. We just had this problem with James.
I think I have yet to get it right once on this podcast so far.
Maybe you should try it with the actual speech jammer and you'll just boom.
At FUARock podcast. All one word. Tweet us.
Make sure to watch Slither for next week.
Indeed. And let's go around the table one last time.
I'm James McAnally.
I'm Steven Zarita.
I'm Ryan Evans.
And this has been...
You didn't say...
Yeah, I'm...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And thank you for joining us for...
From Under a Rock.
Oh, Steven's down. Steven!
Smiles,
the zombies.
I'll be there soon.
Don't you die on me, you son of a bitch.
Don't say anything to Smiles.
I didn't like the Simpsons.
I'm not going to say anything to him still.
Wait, you didn't like the show or you didn't like the ride?
No.
We can never know. We can never know.
Yeah, let's just leave his body here. It's fine.
No, hold on. I want to pick at it.
What's it taste like? Oh, I got an email.